All right, so welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We're going to pick up where we left off again yesterday, because that's what we do with Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We are covering the last section of verse 36 and 37 in the book of John, chapter 1. And if you joined us yesterday, you know right where we left off. If not, I encourage you to go to our website, washandword.com. There you'll find all of our teachings are posted under the media tab on the website. And these 15-minute sermons are going forth, and we support and we fulfill this ministry through the money we earn by washing your car at the Wash and Word in the church, the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill on Highway 11. There, my wife and I have a hand car washing business where we work hard to earn our money so that we can support ourselves, our family, our business, and of course this ministry. And so, picking it back up again, we were just talking about how John went right back to the place that he basically had been serving his whole life, even after the fulfillment of his ministry, and that is, of course, Christ coming onto the scene. And he went back there, and we left off by talking about the important part that we play in the plan and the will of God. And we had said that had John not gone back the very next day, had he instead retired, having fulfilled his ministry, he would have missed out on a great opportunity to lead some of his disciples to Christ. Looking again at verse 36, and also we'll read 37, it says in John chapter 1, verse 36, "When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." And so by virtue of him being back there again, they followed after Jesus. And the thing that I couldn't get to last teaching that I didn't want you to miss, and I'm especially talking to you, pastor or elder or teacher or leader, but also to all Christians, your only job, listen, your only job is to point people to Jesus. Do you understand that? That's what John did. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God. Now go on, get out of here. Don't look at me. Don't follow me. This is what you've been waiting for. Your only job is to point people to Jesus." Like John, we say, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's it. That is it. Preacher, hear me. Every time you open His Word in front of your flock, your only goal should be making a beeline to Jesus, a beeline to the cross, or to the empty tomb, or to his glorified throne. Remember John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Verse 14. You see, Jesus, as we discussed in an earlier message, which again you could get by going to washandword.com. All of our sermons and Bible teachings are posted there online. Jesus is the Word. He is God. So when we do a verse by verse Bible teaching, it's basically saying a Jesus by Jesus teaching. Verse by verse ministry is Jesus by Jesus ministry, because He is the Word of God. You see, we only need to point and say, "Look, the Lamb of God," not "Look at my eloquence as I speak." We're not to say, "Behold my degrees on the wall." We are not called to say, "Look at the smoke machine we have during our worship service," or "Behold our state-of-the-art music ministry and church." Stop pointing people to, stop pointing them to anything other than Jesus. Make it all about Him. And you know why? Because it is. It is all about Him. Listen, when I was a pastor down in Florida, I learned this early in my ministry, maybe even before I started the church. Behind me at the church that we had, in the pulpit, we had a large cross, and it stood behind me. It wasn't a crucifixion. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just an old wooden cross. And my goal, and this isn't to bring any kind of exaltation to myself, this is an example that I'm trying to give for you who may be listening, especially if you're a preacher or a pastor. My goal was to bring everyone basically to that cross by the end of my message. So no matter what verse-by-verse Bible teaching I was in or what book or chapter we were doing, I made it a point to bring it all the way around at all times back to Jesus. And my goal in my head was to metaphorically call your attention to me as the word went forth, as the explanation and application that God gave me would go forth. My goal was to slowly step aside, away from that pulpit, and slowly walk towards the side of the stage. And then my goal was to slowly walk down those stairs. Now, this is all metaphoric, but in my mind, this is the goal of every time you get before a congregation and you preach the Word of God to them. And as I walked down those stairs onto the level ground where the congregation was sitting, I would slowly make my way and sit down in that chair. And by the end of the message, my goal was that we were all sitting at the same in the same place, on the same level, looking at Jesus in wonder. And going, you know, banging elbows against the person next to you and just going, look at him. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't our Savior amazing? That was the goal. And that should be the goal every single time the Word of God is opened. That we beeline to nothing but Jesus. Forget about your great decor. I'm sure your church looks great. Forget about the worship. I'm sure the smoke machine and the laser lights add a whole lot of stuff. But folks, it's Jesus. It's always been about him. Now, let us continue. Verse 38 says this. Well, let me read 37 just to help kind of bring it around. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" I'm going to stop right there because, again, for some reason I can't get very far in God's Word without having something to say. And I do pray, believe me, diligently that everything I do have to say is being brought to me by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I just can't get past a sentence or half a sentence. And actually, I probably should have stopped in verse 38, the very first part of it, where Jesus asked them, "What do you want?" Now, as we'll see in a few minutes here, their response is, well, we just looked at it. Their response is, "We want to know where you're staying." That was the question. "What do you want?" Jesus said, and their response was, "We want to know where you're staying." And you know, there is a question, we talked about this a few messages ago. Again, you can go to washandword.com to get all the old archived messages. But there's a question Jesus asked Peter and basically all his disciples back in Acts 16, verse 15, when they were coming back from doing ministry and doing miracles and healings and many things. And everyone was saying, "Well, you know, they think you're Elijah. They think you're John the Baptist. They think you're this, that." And Jesus looked at Peter and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, we all know that this is where Peter, you know, professed his allegiance to him as Lord and God. But when we've looked at this question in the past, we alluded to the fact that this the answer to this question has eternally reaching connotations. That is, that we are all going to be asked the very same question, and we're going to have to answer that question before the judge of the universe. And our response to that question is decided long before we die. And after we die, it cannot be changed. But here's a question that Jesus asked that just can't simply be overlooked. And let me also suggest that this is not a question that seeks a lodging answer, but one that seeks a logic answer. That is, the question isn't really about where he's lodging for the night, but it seeks a logic answer, and that is one that requires some thought. In the Greek, the word for word is, well, it's word, it's logos, and it's In our English translation, we might call that logic or reason, reasoning, as in putting together an argument or a case, if you will, to answer a question. The question that we're looking at here today is, what do you want? And I wonder if that question has more meaning to it than it seems. You know, I've heard so many sermons, and I've taught so many sermons, where we get challenged to take a spiritual inventory of our lives and, you know, take a look at the things that maybe we're doing or how much we're praying or reading the Bible, whatever it is. And then during those messages that we've heard and that we've maybe preached, you know, we then respond to Jesus with the very same question. That is, what do you want from me, Lord? You know, you ever do that? You know, you just take an inventory of your life, or, you know, you're just wondering where you're supposed to be going next, or what the next decision is, or you just kind of feeling a dry, or whatever it is, and you find yourself going, well, what do you want from me, Lord? You know, what is it you want me to give up, or where is it you want me to go? Have you ever had times like that? Maybe the time of frustration, or you're kind of angry at God, and we cry out, what do you want from me, God? Now, that's a legitimate question, but have you ever sought maybe the reverse of that question? Have you ever taken for a second to think that maybe God is asking us, what do you want? Not in like a Santa Claus or magic genie sort of way, but in a reflective way. Maybe the question is meant to get us looking at ourselves and ask, what do I want? You know, what is it I'm seeking? Because maybe the things that you are expecting out of your relationship with Jesus are just not right. Maybe they're not proper. Let me ask those of you who are listening this. What do you want out of your relationship with Jesus? What do you want out of your walk with Him? What do you want out of your Christianity? And I think we often complicate things. There is only one thing any of us should desire from this relationship with Jesus. And do you know what that is? If you answered holiness, then you're correct. That's it. That is the one thing we should be... Well, what about all the other stuff that we want to... No. Because what else really is there besides holiness? What else could you possibly want? Is it forgiveness? Well, guess what? That's done already. Is it maybe you're seeking unconditional love from the Lord? Guess what? Done. Maybe it's the patience of God. Done. Maybe you're seeking a purpose. Done. God's already given you a plan and a purpose for your life. Maybe you're seeking correction or rebuking or rewards. Well, that's done, done, and done. Listen, are you seeking wisdom and understanding? Colossians 1:9 says that we already have it. Everything that you could possibly want has been done in Christ. Well, what about the big question? What about eternal life in heaven with God? Done. It's all done. You should be seeking only one thing from your relationship with Jesus, and that is holiness. Becoming more like Him. Because you see, the pursuit of holiness is the goal. It is the mission. Everything else pales in comparison to this. Jesus Himself in Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of those other things will be given to you as well." Now we're running out of time, so we'll pick up this idea of holiness in our next study tomorrow. We encourage you to tune in again here at 8:30. And we preach again verse-by-verse Bible studies, and so we'll pick up right where we left off. Again, we would invite you to come get your car washed at the Wash and Word on Highway 11 in Church Hill in the Palace Shopping Center. And, of course, you can find out all the information about this ministry and this business by going to washandword.com. You have a blessed and beautiful day, and we love you.